Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to The Sportive. The Sportive is a sports podcast. You wouldn't know this if you weren't a listener back in 2013 or whenever we started, but it still exists. And despite everything, Stu and I are here. How are you doing, Stu?
Oh, you know, not so bad. Not so bad. Think we got Brandon is something to do with basketball. One of the children is in basketball, and with Chicken, one of the children it's hockey. So that's just
true to form.
They're stuck there for a while. So
we had one person say that they could show up, and then it turned out they couldn't because something came up. And we had one person who had a youth sporting event and therefore couldn't be here. This is the Sportive promise. Two of us will show up at best.
Yep. At best.
But, you know, we figured it's been 6 months since we recorded a podcast or whatever. So here we are. We're back again. And not much has happened. Not much has happened in the interim, Stu. It hasn't been. God. There haven't been a lot of things going on in Minnesota sports. So luckily we can just sort of roll back in with no controversy of any kind.
Oh my God.
I do want to start. This is not timely. This happened a long time ago, but I still want to talk about it because we have not talked about it on The Sportive. And that is the absolutely delightful saga of the ownership of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
The main
thing I want to say is that I think we all think of Glenn Taylor as basically like basketball grandpa, like walking around. He's got toilet paper on his shoe. He's just sort of shuffling like, oh, hey, grandpa, how you doing? They keep you got a blanket for your knees. You keeping warm. But at the same time, we've always done the lazy, evil, incompetent matrix with Glenn Taylor. It's always been 100 on incompetent, neither lazy nor evil, but always 0, 0, 100 towards incompetent. But at the same time, we knew that somehow Kevin Garnett, a great favorite of all of ours, absolutely hated Glenn Taylor. Won't have anything to do with him. Called him a snake in the grass, all this stuff. And it was a little bit, like, oh, okay, KG, whatever you say. I mean, you seem very serious about this. It doesn't fit with my conception of how this works, but okay, you know, good for you. And then this happens where Mark Laurie and A-Rod forgot to cross two T's and dot an I or whatever on their paper. I don't pretend to understand what's going on, and no one else understands either, because either they're hearing the story directly from A-Rod and Laurie, or they're hearing the story directly from Glenn Taylor. There are no objective facts here. I don't know what's happening, but you saw the story where Glenn Taylor suddenly announces, actually, I'm not selling the team. Good luck in court, losers. And that was the moment where you're like, oh, I kind of see what KG's talking about now. KG, you know, this is, he did build a $1 billion business in what would seemingly be a low margin activity. So I guess he's not the kindly guy that saved the Timberwolves all the time. Let's just put it that way.
No,
I mean, obviously I don't want anything bad to happen to the Timberwolves, such as them moving. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, I think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious how one of the things that continuously gets leaked is, oh, by the way, A-Rod doesn't have any money.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, is that Yesterday, the big news was it was a Taylor floating it out to the media that if they were to buy, if Lori and A-Rod were to buy the team, they would cut payroll. They would go full pull ad on the bit. And I mean, that's obviously, I mean, that's not going to help your cause. There's no like, I did not see any like response from A-Rod and Lori's side. Yeah. I just like watching rich idiots fight, you know? And I mean, and if, with A-Rod being broke, I mean, like, was it the Carlyle Group? That's the venture capital firm that was going to front. They withdrew the funding. And I mean, sports, professional sports franchises are an incredibly smart investment. The number always goes up. Always.
We're into.
They appreciate at almost like 100% rate. They just continue to go up, up, and up. So getting a piece of that action is like, that's like, that you would walk away from that. And I assume the Carlyle Group walked away from that because I assume A-Rod wanted to make all the decisions and just get the money. Whereas Carlyle Group is like, well, if we're going to front you all this money, we might like to maybe call the shots here or something like that. So I assume that had something to do with it, but I don't understand how any of this works other than it's two rich idiots fighting, three rich idiots fighting, and it's going to go on forever, according to John Krasinski. This will be in court
Yes,
forever.
many, many
So,
years.
I mean,
I think.
we will know where like the future of like Karl Anthony Towns. We will know how much longer Rudy Gobert is on the team. We'll know what kind of contract Anthony Edwards gets before we know who owns this fucking team. And those are like things, you
Mike
know,
Lynn will be
Carl's thing is
done
going to get
getting sweep
resolved.
revenue.
Yeah, Carl's the thing will get resolved here in the next 12 to 18 months. Rudy's probably, you know, like probably got 2 or 3 years left on this big contract. And then obviously got to figure out what you're going to do with Edwards. All of that stuff, which is like, not happening like right away, happening in the next between 18 months and 5 years, will all be resolved before we know who the owner is. It's bananas. It's delightful. The team is incredibly fun to watch right now, and the ownership group just can't leave well enough alone. They just have to get in a pissing match about billions of dollars. It's great, John. It's great.
I mean, it's like you try to buy a house from a rich guy, and then he decides he doesn't want to sell the house, and you show up at the closing with all your with your little cashier's check or whatever, and he says, "No, I don't want to do it." Well, okay, you've signed an agreement to do it, but at the same time, I guess we have to fight now.
It's just perfect. It's the most Timberwolves. I mean, this whole year was not a Timberwolves year. It was an actual competent, well-run basketball team with a lot of talent and depth. So something had to happen to make it more of a typical Timberwolves season, but the team was just too fucking good, so it had to happen off the court.
I mean, I assume something else is coming, but I don't know what.
Oh yeah, like
But
you know, tomorrow,
I do also want to say
Towns is supposed to be back tomorrow,
he's
so
playing
maybe
tomorrow.
yeah. That was from Woj this afternoon. So I'm just going to assume that he is going to be hit by a rogue Uber driver upset about Minneapolis kicking him out of town. That's my best guess.
I do again want to say, so far, the PR battle. On the one hand, you've got A-Rod and Lori, who went on, I think it was Dane Moore's podcast. Excellent podcast. Great podcast. But that's their PR strategy. And already, Glenn Taylor has gotten a story planted about how all A-Rod and Lori did was build themselves a marble palace underneath the Target Center so they had some place to hang out and feel like cool guys. And then there was today's story that came out that, you know, I don't know who this could have come from, but as it turns out, A-Rod and Lori wanted to nickel and dime everybody. But, you know, again, I can't imagine what the source for that was, but just you look and I don't plan, I wouldn't glue my hand to Glenn Taylor's basketball court, let's put it that way.
No.
I don't know what happened to that lady, but I'm guessing she's not having a good life right now.
No. Oh, God. It's so funny. It's just so funny. Oh.
So what, I mean, what is going to happen? Last year, about this time, Jaden McDaniels punched a wall. Rudy Gobert punched a teammate. And people were trying to glue themselves to various apparatuses in the Target Center. That was all pretty normal for a Timberwolves year. I can't imagine. I mean, like you said, getting run over by a rogue Uber driver, that would be normal. Like, I don't know what could happen to make this an actual Timberwolves year.
Losing in the first round.
Well, no, I mean, obviously that. I'm talking about the weird stuff that leads to that. Rudy Gobert gets... You know what's funny? Back in a long time ago, when I wrote for Twinkie Town, I would talk about people's arms falling off and stuff. And when I grasped for an archaic disease that nobody gets, I often went for hand, foot, and mouth. And then I had children, and it turns out people get hand, foot, and mouth all the time.
All the time.
That's like a thing that happens when you have young kids. I thought that was a disease that would have been eradicated 150 years ago. Nope. Just happens.
Yep. That's right up there with like head lice and RSV. It's just the constant presence. You're just ducking and diving, hoping it doesn't hit your family.
I can't. they give you some information when you have children. I don't mean to go into dad talk already. They give you some information when you have children, but it never covers this stuff in depth. Which is probably good. You don't necessarily want them to sit you down and be like, all right, do you have a car seat? Great. All right, I'm going to list the 10 diseases that your children could possibly get that could potentially be extremely dangerous or maybe not for them. And so here are the symptoms to look for. It's all the symptoms of just being alive. Oh, your child has a fever. Oh, well, okay. They probably just have a fever or they could be dying. You're supposed to know. But you didn't go to medical school, so good luck.
And also, you're going to get it, and your partner's going to get it, and all other siblings are going to get it. Mm-hmm. You're just going to be sick all winter for the next 10 to 15 years, because that's just how kids work. Because they're around other kids, and they just spread all the viruses
just
around.
Licking each other or something.
Mixing it up like a frat party punch bowl. I mean, there's just all
Can
sorts.
Can you imagine... They should medically study kindergarten teachers because they have to be immune to stuff. Like, I can't imagine any kindergarten teacher ever got COVID because they were already immune somehow.
Yeah.
They've had it four times.
Yeah.
They had COVID-18, COVID-17. They had every COVID. Anyway. I can't remember. I started with the Timberwolves and I ended up talking about kindergarten teachers' immunity. So there we go. That's the sport of promise.
We're like dooming what kind of thing will befall what weird thing will befall the Timberwolves beyond being in the world's toughest basketball conference. If they were in the East, it would default to them versus Boston in the final.
Yeah.
That would be it. But I mean, it's going to be so hard for whoever gets through. I mean,
it's right. You look at the playoffs and it's like, all right, I think they might get the two seed. They're probably not going to get the one seed. They lost to Denver.
No.
They'll probably get the two seed. So, but at least they're in the two seed. And then who's coming up at the seventh? Oh, it could be the Lakers or it could be the Suns somehow, or it could be the Pelicans,
or it could be the Mavericks,
could be
who are
the
on
Warriors.
Fire right now. Luka Doncic is like making like trick shots for fun just to hit 50 tonight.
Where are the bad teams? What there's supposed to be a terrible 40-42 team that rolls into the playoffs. That's
you know what, John? That's the Golden State Warriors. That is the
it's
bad
true.
Team.
It's absolutely true. Warriors. You look at Golden State, and it's like, yeah, these. Draymond will get suspended for something, and then Steph Curry will fall apart.
No issues with Golden State at all this year. That'll be a great draw for them.
A Hall of Fame
team is their best draw. In the playoffs.
I cannot fathom the idea of being like, boy, I hope the Warriors come through this play-in so that the Timberwolves have to play the Golden State Warriors in a playoff series.
And then I'd pick them to sweep, honestly. I think they would kill the Warriors. That's the best matchup possible. Because all the other teams are all going to be 5-6 games series if you're lucky. Yeah, there's it's so good. It's going to be such good basketball, and there's going to be great teams who get taken out in the first round. It's going to be just bloodshed. But it's not as weird as the saga of Emmanuel Reynoso, though, John.
Yes,
I know you've been doing a little extra work here for the Strip because they've been having to send writers to cover the Wolves. So,
yep.
what is going on with that as well as the team in general?
I'm back in the Strip game, baby. Here we
Hell yeah.
go. I was actually up at the National Sports Center for the first time in like a decade for
Wow,
training
they
yesterday.
still
And
have that?
the whole day I was like, you take your grandpa like on a road trip and he's like, oh, that didn't used to be a Bed Bath and Beyond. That used to be, that was a field. My uncle farmed that. That was me all day where I was like, oh, that used to be apple trees over there. But where you park now is where the velodrome used to be. They used to have a velodrome
Oh,
in
yeah,
Minnesota at the
I
National
know.
Sports Center. Youngsters, for the youngsters that listen to the sport of it's a big podcast among the 16 to 24 crowd. So I'm
This is
just
true.
telling you, youngsters, there used to be a bike racing track up there. It's gone now.
Yep.
Also, an elementary school has appeared in the parking lot, and it says
Sure.
Spring Lake Park on it, even though it's right in the middle of Blaine. So I don't know what's going on up there.
No, I mean, we're talking like some Andover Champlin bullshit. I mean,
Yeah, well,
two
I
places that
think
don't exist that are by each other. So it's,
not
yeah.
to not to go into the callback, but I think it might be Centennial High School. Like I didn't go in we
It
don't know where
could be.
Centennial is, so it
Yeah, no,
could
we
be.
don't. I think that's up by Circle Pines or
Call in.
maybe Hermantown.
Listeners, call on in if you know where Centennial High School is.
No one
188.
does. No one does. That's fine.
Yeah, but it's not the same as it used to be. There's actual facilities for a major league team there, whereas it used to be you'd park in the lot 10 feet from the field because
Oh,
nobody
yeah.
was there to stop you, and you'd just walk in anywhere. And oh,
Yeah, but
you have to go to the bathroom while you're using the locker room bathroom. That's what you're
oh,
doing. Now
that's fun.
it's all like there's a media area. It's amazing.
Jeez.
Anyway, it's very different. That was me the whole day. Anyway, what I found out this first day I've gone to training in a decade is that Emmanuel Reynoso, who everyone knew was gone, they knew that he had gone to Argentina to complete the unknowable process of getting his green card. You have to go back to your home country for a visa appointment. I don't understand how this works. Don't ask me about immigration stuff. I've screwed up enough information about immigration stuff. But he had to go back. As it turns out, the team got him all set with an appointment that was on a Monday, and he was supposed to do the appointment. He had already done the other stuff that went with the appointment, I think. He was supposed to go to the appointment, then he was supposed to come back. He wasn't going to miss any time. But for some reason, every time Emmanuel Reynoso goes to Argentina, he can't find his way back out. I've never been to Argentina. I've never been to the Buenos Aires airport. Maybe it's very confusing. Maybe he's still there. They don't seem to be sure where he is. They said there's no timeline for his return, which could mean he's stuck at baggage claim. I don't think anyone has checked the baggage
Does
claim. I don't know.
Argentina have casinos? Because like how they like design casinos to where there's only like the one
Yes.
exit, so you like cannot.
Right.
It's really hard to get out of the gaming area because so you just keep gambling because you can't
Yeah.
find the door. It's I think he's in an Argentinian casino. That's
You
my speculation.
gotta like find one weird slot machine that's your North Star. Like, oh, we just walked past the slot machine that somehow is themed to the movie Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's still in the casino somehow. That means we're pretty close to the exit. If you turn and you look over the cardboard cutout of Mike Tyson that's there for some reason, that's where you have to go to get out. It could be just like that.
That's
I
my
mean,
guess.
I make jokes, but the statement that they released was as terse as a statement about this has ever been. Because for those who are coming late to this story, this is the third time now that Emmanuel Reynoso has gone to Argentina and not come back. He missed the first 3 months of last season in 2023, and then at the start of this season again, he missed the first week or so of preseason and then showed up. And I don't. It feels a little bit like, do you remember when Kirill Kaprizov he went back to Russia after the one season, and then it was like he might not be able to get out of Russia. And there was a great, there was a crazy story where he flew to Dubai but couldn't get out of Dubai and had to fly back to Russia, and then suddenly he just appeared in Florida somehow. Like, I don't know how he got from Russia to Florida. I'm not sure he could get out now, but I don't think he's been back. But it feels a little bit like that, where he left and he keeps leaving, and when he does leave, he just ends up staying. And so on some level, it's like, what are you going to do? I don't. The statement, the last line of the statement was from, this is from the, it was attributed to the chief soccer officer, Khalid Alamed. And he basically, what he said was, we're focusing entirely on the people who are here, which means we are not paying any attention to this.
Yeah.
You show up again, we'll see you then, but we're not going to beat ourselves up that you're not here.
That's harsh. And I, correct me if I'm wrong, they're off to a fairly decent start to the season.
They are off to a fairly decent start. They've won 3 games. They've tied 2 more out of their first 6.
Yeah, so, better than last year.
Yep. Last year was sort of a rough year all the way along. Even after Reynosa came back and their offense got better, but it didn't get that much better. They couldn't win at home. It was just a weird year. They missed the playoffs. And, you know, for more on the subject, listen to the Daily Delivery podcast, Mike Rand's Daily Delivery, which will be out tomorrow, which I'm also on. But I won't try to rehash everything I said on that one. But
okay, have you already recorded that?
Yes, that already is. Okay. It's already in the can.
It's in the can. Oh,
it's in the can.
Sweet. How's Mike doing?
Oh, he's living the dream. He's living the podcasting dream.
Oh, he's a yak about sports with your pals and Royce.
the Royce episodes, I do have to say, Monday Daily Delivery. If you may not be a Daily Delivery listener, but you got to listen to the Mondays with Royce.
Literally, he just puts a quarter in Uncle Pat and he just goes, and there's nothing else. You don't have to do anything else.
It's yelling about the kids and the spelling bee. Oh, it's just why? It's just wonderful. I think we all endeavor to be like Uncle Pat.
Yes. I mean, he's one of the very few boomers, I think, who is just, you know, just good to have around in these like fraught generational times. He's just perfect.
God. just a perfect, wonderful, cynical soul.
We need
him around.
Just an absolute crank, but an entertaining crank instead of a mean crank, if that makes sense.
I also have to say, the other day, Mike did a podcast with some of the Star Tribune Outdoor guys. I think Tony Kennedy, I think is his name. And what the outdoor people had gotten together and done was they went and they got a whole bunch of facts about state by state deer hunting, whether it's the number of deer or the number of all these various categories that rate deer hunting. And they could have just gone state by state, but they did it much better, I think, which is, they released just this ranking for Big Ten states that have Big Ten schools. And if they had just said, we're going to go state by state and where does Minnesota rank in the 50 states, I would have been like, meh. With the Big Ten, immediately I was like, they would say, well, the first thing for this is Michigan. And I'm sitting there listening and I'm like, yeah, because they cheat, because they're cheating with their name, image, likeness, deer hunting stuff. Mm. And I was so furious. So I guess what I'm saying is, for any politicians or anybody out there that really wants to manipulate people, just put a Big Ten ranking of something out, and I will absolutely get number one extremely interested and number two furious unless Minnesota is number one. This also goes for the Frozen Four, which is happening right now. Yeah. Just furious.
Is Michigan still losing?
I honestly don't know. I don't. Okay,
they're down 1-0 early. So
perfect.
So, and I think Denver advanced in the first game.
Yeah, Denver beat BU, I believe.
BU, yeah. And BC's, the other Boston team, is playing Michigan. So, oh,
man, could you design a worse Frozen Four?
I'm so sorry,
two
man.
Boston schools and Michigan and Denver. Denver.
Yeah. And St. Paul was gearing up for a big weekend. There was going to be just, they're just, and it's just, but no Minnesota.
It's Dakota, funny how,
Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's funny how that worked, because I think I heard, I think Randy Johnson said that this is the first time since 2016 there hasn't been a Minnesota team in the Frozen Four. And
Yeah,
to do
just
it in your
down here
tiers.
across the board. I mean, just like Mankato wasn't even close. St. Cloud barely got out of their got into their conference finals. I mean, it was just ugh, nothing.
Rough year for everybody.
Bemidji doesn't exist anymore, and UMD was terrible. So
It's a shame what happened to Bemidji. People
I
like
know.
that town, but
Yeah.
we don't need to
Pine
mention what happened
trees,
to it. It's
lakes.
sad, but
No, yeah, it's a bummer, but I mean, Chicken's friend Irv is going to have to be held responsible for what he's done. But
He clearly enjoyed himself, but he's gonna have to
no,
be.
you
I don't
simply can't put that much uranium in a water
know
tower. You just
what.
can't. So, but that's, neither here nor there.
Yeah, we don't need to bring that up again.
It
We've
was,
rehashed that in our many
yeah.
sportive episodes.
Okay. So let's get to, so since talk about soccer with Mike, let's go to the Minnesota Baseball Twins,
The
John.
Minnesota Twins. I do. It's frustrating, but it's like I don't know what I. It's like Jason Bateman opening the bag with the dead bird and going, "I don't know what I expected." That's the in the playoffs last year, they
Yes.
lost. Just like they've been losing. They
Yes.
strike out 18 million times, and that was the whole playoffs. They stood around, they tried to hit home runs, they struck out a billion times. The whole season, really. They led the league in both home runs and strikeouts last year.
Yeah.
But that's all
They
they
had
do.
incredible pitching.
They stand around. It doesn't matter. There's a guy on third and one out, and everybody's ever played baseball is like, all right, you just got to get that guy home. Not the Twins. They're up there taking softball swings, trying to hit a 15-run homer. And it's incredibly frustrating, but what I'm for the playoffs last year, at the end, they had lost. They had struck out a billion times. Every game against the Astros ended with them striking out nine times to end the game with guys on base. And Rocco Baldelli came out and basically said, "Listen, I know we struck out a lot. We're not going to stop trying. We're not going to start trying not to strike out. We are going to keep striking out. We believe that you have to hit home runs and nothing else matters, and we don't care about strikeouts." And guess what? All we've seen so far this year, more and more strikeouts. And I have to say, I hate it. I hate it. How do you feel, Stu?
When you trim your payroll by $30 million, let your second best pitcher and your fifth best pitcher walk, and basically just don't really do much for your depth outside of your bullpen, and then everyone gets hurt, including a substantial amount of your bullpen. And your weak division ends up having two of the three best records in the league so far. It could not have started off worse, honestly. I mean, the one guy who hits home runs and gets on base a lot is out until Memorial Day at the earliest.
Yeah, everybody's favorite player
Yeah,
gone.
got hurt in the third inning of the first game. I don't know. It could it just nothing. Could have it could not have started worse. And then I mean, you come in and you see the Dodgers, you just light hundreds on fire. And I mean, you're very fortunate because your other one really good player, Correa, basically won a game by himself, along with a really good performance by your pitching staff. It is remarkably frustrating, if not predictable. Let's just
Yeah.
it's. Exactly what you, if you're going to cut payroll and just hope you can skate by in a weak division, shit's going to happen. That's going to make that plan look foolish. And I mean, injuries are, they're not the only team with injuries by far. Like the White
No.
Sox just, and they were already bad. And that's even worse for them. But it's just, it's frustrating, man. It's, you could see it coming, and it's just, it was predictable, and it happened earlier than I thought, and there's still time for them to, turn it around. And that the guy, I don't think Cleveland, I mean, Cleveland's already lost Bieber, and I don't think, I couldn't name anyone outside of Bobby Witt on the Kansas City Royals team. Maybe Paul Splittorff, I don't know.
Yeah,
Brett
Kevin McReynolds
Saberhagen,
isn't right.
Freddie Patek, UL Washington, Amos Otis, I don't know. So I just named all the 1979 Kansas City Royals. That was pretty good. Without saying George Brett or Al McRae. That was good.
That was good.
Yeah. Daryl Porter. I just.
Jamie Quirk.
Yep. God, fuck that guy. I don't know, John. It's a bummer. You know, it's just a bummer because they were, I mean, yes, they did strike out a lot, but they also won a fucking playoff series last year.
Mm-hmm.
Pablo Lopez is so good. I mean, it's just, it's really frustrating because they had so much goodwill and young talent and a rotation coming into this. And my God, man, they are so banged up and they can't hit. And
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sorry, that was me. That was a Martholarian rant.
I like a rant. I do. Yes. And it's even more delightful when it's not me for once in my life.
It's just so goddamn frustrating. But that's my rant.
It's good. It's very good. Stu, what are you drinking over there?
That is a Take 5 THC Lime Seltzer from the Surly Brewing Company. So lime just a little bit of weed water. So
a little bit of weed water.
Well, it gets close to my bedtime, John. And once I log off here, I'll be going honk, honk, shoe. It'll be great.
Stu, I've never felt more like we were having more of a middle-aged conversation than we are right now.
Yep. It's just, it helps me sleep, John. It really does.
Is this your recommendation for the Surly Weed Waters, the lime?
For me, this is what THC does. It gives me like a nice little floaty, sleepy feeling. So but for other people, it's like, you know, maybe that's just helps them relax or something and they can just hang out and be sociable. Whereas for me, it just makes me tired. And I like that feeling sometimes, John. I went to the gym tonight and I'm sore as hell. Everything hurts. Some box jumps, which is just the
box
worst.
Box jumps? You weren't doing box jumps.
I was doing box jumps, John.
Why were you doing box jumps? You want to hurt yourself? You trying to hurt yourself, Stu?
I know, John. I'm 53. You don't think I'm feeling every bit of it right now?
You're just going to injure yourself.
Oh, I know. But
Do something that doesn't involve jumping off things.
I know. You got to be careful. The lunges. Oh, geez, John. No, don't get me started on the lunges. No, oh, God.
I won't get you started on the lunges.
Anyway, we're 2 weeks from Vikings draft day, John.
Oh, my gosh. Who are they going to pick, Stu? What are they going to do?
You know, the insiders, your Adam Schefters, your Ian Rappaports, your Tom Pelissero's.
I was going to say Pelissero. Dang it.
Yeah. There seems to be a lot of momentum on them trading up to get the guy from Michigan.
Why? They don't have to trade up to get the guy from Michigan. Nobody wants the guy from Michigan.
I know he's not good. I watched all of 3 college football games last year. 3. And he was in 2 of them, and he didn't look that good in the 2 that I watched. That, in my expert opinion, that tells me he's not going to be a good pro, John.
I agree with you.
And the guy that he beat in the title game, Michael Penix Jr., I actually kind of like him.
Yeah, I do.
He's
like
got a
him.
Weird delivery, but he can throw the ball 80 yards. And we've got like 2 incredibly fast receivers. Why not draft him 23rd?
It was very strange to me. Right when the college football season ended, what I remember, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not exactly Mr. Draft, but what I remember is that people were like, well, you know, you've got Williams and you've got Daniels and you've got Drake May. Those are the big three. And then, you know, we're looking at maybe we got second rounders. Michael Penix might be a mid first rounder. J.J. McCarthy might be a second rounder. We're not real sure. But then it just seemed like people were like, well, he's pretty white. Like, he'll probably be good at quarterback. You know, as it turns out, he might even be the third best quarterback, the first best. He might be the best quarterback in the history of the world. I don't know why people are so determined to talk themselves into J.J. McCarthy. Yes, I mean, he may go on to win 15 Super Bowls. I don't know, but no, I don't understand what happened here. And meanwhile, Michael Penix has gone from like, well, he might be the fourth of, but I think there's a big four to people are like, oh, I wouldn't. Michael Penix, not even a second day kind of guy. Put him on the third day. He'll fall to the seventh round, the 12th round. They don't even have a 12th round anymore.
I don't get it. I don't.
And here's the other thing about the Vikings. Obviously, they need a quarterback. Everybody knows they need a quarterback.
Yep.
And so everyone's trying to convince them, like, well, you better trade up to number four, because if not, we're definitely going to somehow take J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix, and you won't have anybody.
Yep.
You know, twisting the mustache. But you look at the Vikings roster, obviously they need a quarterback. But you look down and you're like, if they trade any more draft picks, they might not end up with enough players to make up a roster.
Yes. And they have their defense is bad, John.
Yeah. You look down every position on defense. It's like, do they need an edge rusher? Yes, definitely.
Yes.
How about linebacker? Oh, yeah. They need linebackers really bad. Do they need defensive back? Oh, yeah. They need a lot of corners. Safeties? Yes. Heck yes. Oh, they need so many safeties.
So, yeah, my draft plan is to draft the best defensive player who's left at 11. And there's going to be a really good defensive player because there's going to be apparently 70 quarterbacks taken before there. And then take Penix at 23. That is my – and then just draft defense the rest of the draft.
That's right.
Maybe throw a running back in or something.
Just straight up Zimmer.
Seriously. I mean, it's – I don't know.
Trade all your draft picks for one more draft. This is the Rick Spielman way.
Yeah.
You have three draft picks later. Trade them all for four draft picks. Doesn't matter which four. Mm-hmm. The important thing is that you get four. And when you get there, you got to take three defensive backs and a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Spielman way. That's the way we do things around here.
So,
and I mean, people talk about it. And then the thing that keeps coming up, and it drives me insane, is that you talk about, well, they're gonna package three first round picks, eight first round picks, whatever, to move up into the top three. And then people say, well, the guys know, Quizzy knows, and Kevin O'Connell knows that if it doesn't work out, they won't be here anyway. It's like, but I will be here. I will still be here. They're not gonna trade me. I would love them to trade me if that happened, but I can't. I have to stay here and watch this.
Please trade me to the Texans. They're good now.
Every day I look at the transactions in the back of the paper. For 30 years, I've been waiting for under the NBA heading for John Marthaler to get traded to a better team, but it hasn't happened, and I've had to watch the Timberwolves instead. So I'm still going to be here. It's so frustrating. And I will say, I just want to officially reveal that I'm having real trouble remembering whether the Vikings quarterback now is Sam Darnold or Sam Bradford. Like, I've said Bradford a couple of times already.
Sam Darnold is a
Viking. I'm pretty sure it's Darnold. The Vikings had Sam Bradford.
Yes. He was good for a game and a half. And then his back quit. His back just stopped working. He just started walking like Frankenstein's monster. And it's like, oh, my God, he's only 28 years old. It was like... When Cam Newton was finally cooked, one of the most incredible athletes you or I have ever seen play college football. And then by the time he got to 30, he couldn't move.
Yeah.
It's just like, what? It's a brutal game, man.
Sam Bradford's back and Brandon Roy's knees. You remember Brandon Roy? He was with the Timberwolves for like 3 days. He was just an amazing player, but somehow at age 25, he needed 12 knee replacements already.
Yep, man. It's just...
Poor guy. I really like Brandon Roy. I was really, when the Wolves signed him that 1 year, I was like, this is going to work. I can feel it because I really want it to work. I didn't have any reason beyond that. But Like, I want this to happen. I want this to work. And then, yeah. Oh, yeah, his femurs
kind of like
are
how we all want to include him to be a really good pro, but you can only be 5'11 in the NBA if it's like 1972.
And by the way, I'm still, you know, Khaled Alamed might be a great GM, but I'm still mad that they hired a guy whose name is so similar to Khaled Alameen, because that means that,
that would be so
when I go to say Khaled Alameen, every time I almost say Khaled Alameen. Thanks a lot, 1990s Minnesota upbringing.
Oh, God. Freaking New London Spicer, man. They almost had him. Almost beat him.
Those were days. I remember watching that game. That's how.
I do too. It was a great game.
It was like a major event. Oh, yeah.
It was.
Minneapolis North is playing New London Spicer in the state championship game.
Yeah, that was our Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers for our generation.
Were you on the Caitlin Clark train, like rooting for Iowa? I need to know.
No, for that game, I was rooting for Beckers.
No, obviously.
Yeah, she's from us, and she's like two fucking knee surgeries at that age. That's and she was Caitlin Clark, because she was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and I mean, she was the great hope for women's basketball, and just her health wouldn't let her do it. And Caitlin just came out of West Des Moines and is a monster, and then she runs into Dawn Staley in South Carolina and just gets boat raced. That was a fun Final Four there.
I was kind of amazed. We were down at my father-in-law's house over the weekend, and I'm not sure I ever thought that we would get to the point where my father-in-law was like, well, you know, we're doing whatever on Friday night, but we got to be done by 8 because the game starts at 8. And it wasn't like, oh, which game are you talking about? No, we all know. He really wants to watch the women's Final Four.
Yeah.
And then Sunday he was like, well, you got to be out of here by 2 because the game starts at 2.
Benefit of the women's game is like they stay for 4 years. So you can build storylines and rivalries. And I'm not saying that the men shouldn't be allowed to make money. They absolutely should. But that is a benefit of staying 4 years in school, is those type of, you know, that bird magic thing can happen. It's just,
that's the way college sports is right now. Is it good? Yeah. Should it happen? Yeah. I think this is good, but I don't see why college athletes should be able to transfer. They should be able to get paid. All that's fine. But while I agree with all that, you can't make me be interested in it. You know what I mean? Just because it's right doesn't mean it's interesting.
Correct. There's the show title, by the way.
And I did think, did you watch the men's final, Purdue and UConn?
I did.
So I watched about the first quarter of that, and I just thought it was hilarious. Like, today in the year 2024 in the NBA, it's like, listen, basketball is all about space. It's all about pace. You got to play at a high pace. Everybody's got to be able to shoot. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you're 7'2" or 5'2". You got to be able to shoot the three. You got to be able to run the floor. It's all about this fluid moving game. And then you cut over to the college game, and it's like, listen, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have two giant guys in the underneath the basket just running into each other like in 1976. Here we go. Just slapping each other. And Zach Edey is, you know, the only men's college basketball player anybody knows. And just an amazing throwback to when you and I were coming up as college basketball fans. It's like, oh, you got one giant guy who doesn't look like he could dribble the ball all the way to the floor and back to his hand. Yeah, this is what it used to be. Just elbowing people underneath the hoop. Anyway, if you're wondering why the women's championship game got better ratings than the men's championship game, you didn't watch both championship games, is all I'm saying.
Correct.
Anyway.
Danny Hoosel.
What else has happened, Stu? What haven't we talked about? We haven't done one of these for another.
You know what we haven't talked about, John? Super Bowl 27.
Super Bowl. You know, that's true. We have not talked about Super Bowl 27. What can you tell us about Super Bowl 27, Stu?
Well, you may recall that was when the Buffalo Bills and the Dallas Cowboys faced off at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena.
Was that the score? Was that the only Bills-Cowboys Super Bowl, or was there another one in that grouping?
I think that was the only one. They lost to Washington. They lost to the Giants. And let's say the Niners.
Okay. Tell me more about the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California.
Well, first of all, it was supposed to be played in Tempe, Arizona. But Tempe would Arizona was not going to recognize MLK Day. So it got moved to Pasadena. For the children
out there, this is in Stu and I's living memory. We remember this.
Yes, this is 1993. So not to go off on too much of a tangent, but I've seen some people online say, you know, race didn't used to be a problem until people started getting all DE&I on things. We literally had to move the Super Bowl because the state didn't like Martin Luther King Jr. So and that was in 1993. So please, I beg of you, whoever thinks that, fuck off. Anyway, there, my tangent is done. The head referee for Super Bowl 27, John?
Ed Hockley.
Dick Hantak. You haven't thought about Dick Hantak in 30
years. No, I haven't thought about that name since it flashed on a screen in that old NBC Sports font wasn't computer. I don't know what it was. It was like it was hand-painted and then put on a clear thing and held up in front of a camera.
Your announcers on the radio were Jack
Radio Buck. Guys.
Radio guys, Jack Buck and Hank Stram.
Jack Buck, the voice of everything. That was back. Obviously, there are announcers that do multiple sports still, but that was back when Jack Buck, it was like, who's doing the Stanley Cup Finals? It's Jack Buck somehow.
Yep, somehow. He doesn't even know what hockey is, but.
Mm-hmm. Just two glasses of whiskey and a stogie at all times.
Yep. Your national anthem was sung by Garth Brooks.
Okay, that actually seems normal.
Your halftime show, Michael Jackson.
The next year, the national anthem was sung by Michael Jackson, and the halftime show was Garth Brooks.
But I'm saving the my favorite part of this for last. It's the announcing crew, John.
Okay, the TV announcers.
The TV announcers, yes. Play-by-play, Dick Enberg. Yes, he's literally
the voice.
Oh my! Just he was very much he had the George Takei thing going before George Takei did.
I've never made that connection till right now.
His color commentator, one of my personal favorites from back in the day, Bob Trumpy. The only part of Bob Trumpy's brain that worked is the part of the brain that hates. He was always just angry or disappointed in whatever decision was made by whoever missed a tackle or made a bad play call. I mean, he was just always upset. He just, I missed. And he towered over Enberg in the booth too. Mm-hmm. In my mind palace, he's like 6'10". He's probably normal sized, but sitting next to Dick Enberg, he looked very.
Dick Enberg was like, I don't know if Dick Enberg was 5'3" or Bob Trumpy was 6'11", but one of those two things is true.
One of those two things is true. And there were two sideline announcers. The first one, Todd Christensen. Do you remember Todd Christensen?
No, I'm getting him confused with Marv Marinovich.
You might be
like Todd Marinovich.
You could be getting him confused with Randy Cross.
I could be getting him confused with Randy Cross. That's
Todd
very
Christensen
possible.
Was like the Randy Cross of Tom Brookshire's. He had a perm mullet situation going. It was kind of wet. He was definitely one of the wet guys. Former NFL tight end.
There were a lot of wet guys around that time.
Yeah, if he was around today, he would be pitching for the Astros in the eighth inning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
And the other sideline announcer who also did the coin toss. I can't believe this popped up on my screen when I was just dicking around on the internet. Your other announcer and coin toss flipper, Orenthal James Simpson. 1993, everybody. That was a different time. Let's just put it that way. And
Beloved pitch man, O.J. Simpson.
John, I know you've been busy today, but you do know that he died today, right?
I did see
Okay.
it was one of those things. I was at the gym this morning, and it was like it was on ESPN, and then you know it's serious because it also flashes up on CBS during The Price is Right.
Oh yeah. Oh geez.
It was like the day that Princess Kate, the day that she announced she had cancer, all of a sudden, the big three of CBS, CNN, and somehow ESPN were all broadcasting this news at one time. And it was like, wow, this is a big deal. What's going on? Is she dead? No, she just announced she had cancer.
Well,
It's
honestly, John, if I want to
that's
hear
how I
if
get
I
all my news now, is the muted televisions at the
if I
gym.
want to hear about an illness in the monarchy, I want to hear about it from Mike Greenberg. I
Stephen
just
A. Smith.
John,
Preposterous.
as you know. Oh
You
my
know that I
gosh.
hate cancer, but
But this cancer was not as dominant as LeBron James.
Stephen
Oh, sorry.
A.
That was just anyway. OJ Simpson's dead. That was the point of that whole exercise. Once I saw a coin toss OJ Simpson, I was like, oh shit.
Here we go.
And not more than a couple, not even a year later, he was in the headlines for different reasons, on TV for a much different reason. So
That was truly something.
yes. And that's an hour, John. I told you
Oh,
we'd get through an hour of this thing.
we didn't even have to. We didn't have to resort to our usual strategy of just having me rant for 25 minutes about the Minnesota Wild. We avoided that entirely.
Because they got eliminated, they have been eliminated from the playoffs, John.
Let's be honest, they got eliminated from the playoffs in November. We've just been waiting for the mathematical part. Boy, what a dispiriting franchise. Did you see? I don't know if you saw this on Twitter. I think I still have this email in my inbox. I got to see if I can find it. I got an email from the Minnesota Wild. This is
Oh no.
from an address called Minnesota Wild Feed. This was on social media, so I'm not breaking any news here, but
Okay.
I got this email as well. It came from an email called Minnesota Wild Feedback, and here is the headline. I don't think this was exactly the day they were eliminated from the playoffs, but it might have been. Here's the headline. We thought this season went pretty well. Tell us what you think. And then it's a whole thing about how you should take a survey. What an incredible Wild season it's been in 2023-24.
Oh
We were
man.
so excited to welcome you back to Xcel Energy this season. And it was one of those things you get it and you're like, I know that this was written by someone who's not involved with the Wild. I know that this was written this a long time ago, not today, not by anyone who knew what was going on, but still, how does this happen?
I just
And I
My
do,
God.
while we're at, this is the back end of the podcast, so nobody's listening. I do want to say that I get the emails from Surly Brewing, and I'm utterly delighted when they're just very stew. You know what I mean? When it's like,
I put
yeah,
the
I
power
know.
loon in today's, so
Exactly. Just those moments where I'm like, I know, Stu, this is 100% Stu.
yeah, that was
The headline
that
of
was that
today's
one.
was
That one was for
drinking.
me.
Drinking beer outside season is a real season. Just the headline. I'm like, yep, that's a stew. That's a stew. The Cheap Trick just sounds better on the power loon. Yep.
It does. That's just truth.
100% stew.
I mean, that's not even a lie. That's like, I'll tell you
Delightful.
that for free.
It makes it makes me happy to get the Surly Brewing email that's all stew. Like,
I'm
good to
here.
see. I should text Stu. I should record a podcast with Stu. It's just good to hear from him.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate you saying that.
What you got any dad advice here? We
No.
can't really have dad talk. All of your kids are out of the house, too. What are
Yeah.
we gonna do? None of my kids are out of the house. Let me tell you. Let me tell
No.
you.
No, they're doing great. I just went out to visit Celia, actually.
How was
And
it?
it was
This was
great.
in
Colorado's a blast. I
Colorado
was
Springs,
Fort Collins.
Fort Collins. I always say Colorado Springs
Yeah,
instead of Colorado
other
Springs.
end of I-25 in Colorado. So
Is Fort Collins is in eastern Colorado, is it?
It's straight north of Denver. It's straight on the interstate between Denver and Cheyenne.
All right. That's an odd place to be for any town or person.
It is it's where Colorado State is.
Oh, I thought Colorado State's in Fort Collins. I really thought it was in Colorado Springs.
No, that's Air Force Academy.
Air Force Academy's in Colorado Springs. All right. Well, who are you, Rand F. and McNally?
No, I just went there. So
I was just there, John. I know these things.
Oh, the one highlight is I got to see the good Nuggets Timberwolves game where they defeated them. We found a Minnesota sports bar.
In Fort Collins?
That's like one of those, like, on Sundays they show the Vikings games type of things.
No way.
Yeah, it was weird. And it was just a dump. It's like got carpet. A bar with carpet's always a little off-putting. I don't know about that. That's a stain right there. I can tell you that right now. That ain't coming out. But it was fine. And we were a lot of people there for the game. And it was also NCAA tournament. And it was karaoke night.
Oh, so, wow.
The big I was there three. With Celia and I had, like, a bunch of her friends. So I was like, I was like Mr. Newman to everybody. So I had to make sure I went up and did karaoke and did the Ed Recca, the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, no. Stu, why would you do that?
As You Know is an 8-minute song about a nautical disaster when everyone else wants to sing like Mr. Brightside.
Everybody's watching a game and you're singing The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Stu.
It was gross. The kids loved it. And as we're doing it, there's people at the table next to us realized we were from Minnesota. They were from freaking Little Falls.
Of course they were. There's because always somebody from Little Falls, yeah.
Yeah, but usually that's like when you're like in Arizona or Florida and it's a snowbird, and that's where you run into, not in Fort Collins, Colorado, but by God.
A couple years ago, I was in Arizona. It was the wintertime. It was January. I was in Arizona, and because the kids were little, we took them to a train museum. There's a big train museum down there, and we went there, and you get into conversations with people as one does. And I think everyone we talked to was from Minnesota that was at the train museum that day. You could have, if you had been there to shout out Go Vikings, people would have broken into a chorus of Skol Vikings with clappings. And then there would have been a Skol chant.
Odd.
Yeah. That's the way it is.
The world's a big small town, John. There's really all.
The world is Little Falls.
The world is Little Falls and a vampire at the same time. So, okay, the weed's starting to hit me, John. So we can
let's keep this rolling. Let's go.
No, we should
can
not.
Can you sing The Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald for us?
It's go to the Maritime Sailors Cathedral if you want to hear that.
As big freighters go, it was bigger than most.
The good ship and crew are in peril right now, I think. Just looking at my eye. Oh, yeah, Jesus. I just looked at my eyes. Wow. Jesus. I did not even notice that. Wow.
As good as when Chicken would call in drunk during a Vikings game. Those are good podcasts.
That was just good stuff. Hopefully those have been erased now, because I think legally we could be held responsible for the things that he said. If it's been in the past 7 years, I don't know. But
I refuse to say. I refuse to say anything. Yeah. I won't keep you, Stu. I'm sure that we'll get done with this podcast before anything can go particularly wrong here. That's all we're looking for.
I appreciate that.
Any more for any more? I got nothing.
I got nothing either, man, except being high.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, John.
I like the end of the podcast where I stop pretending that anyone's going to listen to it, and I'm just hey, thumbs up. Good to see you, Stu. Good talk. All right. I hope anybody stopped listening to this podcast.
We'll do bros and turds at some point.
For what?
The Twins. We haven't done it yet.
Oh, that's right. They started
their
season.
We'll do it next time.
Yeah,
we'll
sure.
We'll be a good month into the season. It'll be fine.
Royce Lewis.
Royce Lewis.
We'll
there
play
we go.
Less than 140 games. Done. Yes, I'm great at this.
Anthony Italian guy. He's the turd.
Anthony Italian. All right. Got to stop this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.